Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hold tight where the leather fits. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddy used to tell him, boy, how to ride them bulls. Got a jingle in my jeans, so places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. 10-4, buddy, come on.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It's Thursday, June 23rd, and that's a Big Bad 222. So go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. We're here for the next hour. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining us. So we're just kicking back, getting ready for the weekend. It's the Texas Trucking Show. going to be in Houston at the NRG Center down there by the Reliant Stadium. That's where it's going to be at. So that's Saturday, June 25th, and Sunday, June 26th. That's where the Texas Trucking Show will be. You can check it out at texastruckingshow.com. And I'm going to go there to see. I've never been. So I'm going to float down there and check it out and see what's going on. It's going to be more of a regional thing. There's going to be a lot of people from Texas there. So my opinion, if you're passing through and you got a little time to kill, maybe you need to, you know, stop for the day or stop for the night. You know, I really don't know the parking situation. I think that's one of the main things I'm going to investigate a lot is how they handle a lot of that stuff, because I asked about all that. And, before I go any further, I wanted to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app where you can do all your load planning and booking, tracking freight, all that stuff. They even got a button on there for parking, specifically for parking and for the Walmarts. That's awesome. So Trucker Tools, you download the app from the App Store, Trucker Tools, or you can check them out at truckertools.com. And if you got any more questions about everything, just you can go to the website. That's probably the best place to check everything out and where you can get in touch with the folks over there at Trucker Tools. We appreciate all their support. So check them out, truckertools.com, Trucker Tools app, the app for truckers. So what it was is I was investigating the parking situation over there at the Texas Trucking Show. And if you go on to the website, there's not really much to know about the parking other than they tell you where it's at. They got a little map, and they got a dot that said this lot here is for trucking. And it says Bobtails, $30, Bobtail tractor and trailer. You know, tractor only, $30, tractor and trailer, $60. It doesn't say per day. It doesn't say, you know, per night, whatever. And so I sent an email. I asked. I said, what's going on with that? And what's the situation? And, of course, I asked, is there anything going on? Can drivers do any tailgating or anything? So the message I got back was that the price is per day, and there is no in and out, like, what do they call it? You know what? I got it on my phone right here. Hold on. Let me pull it up. And I at first I didn't really recognize what that meant as far as the parking situation, but it says parking is per day and has no in and out privileges. Tailgating is not allowed. So basically no in and out privileges. To me, that means that if you pay the $30 or $60 truck and trailer, and what if you need to go down to the store and you want to get some provisions for the night, and that means you leave, you can't come back, or you got to pay to get back in. As far as I can, as far as I know, that's what that means. So you're stuck. And of course, everybody knows. I go to Louisville. I've been to Louisville a lot. I also have been to the Dallas Truck Show. Both of them always offered free parking, no charge, and they always offered overnight parking or some kind of tailgating was allowed, like personal tailgating or whatever. Dallas, for a while there was really no rules. And then when they got the bigger parking lot, and of course what it was that it's so funny. You know, anybody here listening here now can rest assured, if somebody's got a college degree, almost their common sense goes completely out the window. Okay? And prove me wrong. All right, just prove me wrong. Because, you know, change my mind kind of thing, like what's his name does over there out of Canada. Crowder, right? Prove me wrong. Change my mind. Because we saw it on all the other cases. But this here, it's like, you know, they get a survey. So they do all these surveys. And the surveys all say, drivers say they want parking to be more accessible. They want parking to be more available. They want parking to be funner. They want it to be more relaxed. They want to be able to park and have a good time. And they take it, these college guys that are into marketing and to, you know, all that. They're like, well, you know what that means? That means we need to have stricter rules, and then we need to allow them not to participate in their own private thing what they want to do. They need to come and participate with us. So we're going to, in Dallas, they changed it to where everybody had to park. And then we told you where to park because that way we can squeeze as many trucks as in there as we can. They started doing that in Louisville too. Park where we tell you to park. Don't you can't park wherever you want. You can't save spaces. You can't, you know, park over here and then your friend's going to come in later on that day and then that way y'all can park next to can't do that. Okay? You got to park where we tell you to park and all the partying and all the fun and all the relaxing and all the lawn chairs and all this. No, they need to be brought up here to the front or up here in this main area and that's where everybody's going to congregate. We're going to have a tent set up and we're going to have food for sale. Nothing for free. If you want anything to eat at the truck show, you got to eat it from us, which it might be free, but it ain't going to be good. You know, it's one of those three things. You can have it quick, you can have it cheap, or you can have it good. And if you want it quick and cheap, it ain't going to be good. So that's, you know, we dive into that too. But the Dallas show here, so now there's no tailgating allowed. So you can't, pretty much that means that if, let's say that you showed up for the truck show, closes at 5. You can't get back in until 10 the next morning. And hopefully you got something to eat in the truck or you got a way to walk or I guess Uber nowadays to go somewhere to eat, you know, or maybe you leave the truck there. Hopefully that's the other thing. I actually should have asked, is it overnight parking? And I didn't even dawn on me because I totally forgot at the Vegas truck show, they said free truck parking, Great. Get there. The show's over with. We're in the parking lot. Hey, you got to leave. The parking lot closes when the show closes. So the free parking is only during the show. So that is another thing. Not really sure if that's going to be. Now, I would think being in Houston, you know, of course that was Vegas, so it ain't no telling, but you know, that's what I'm going to be investigating is to see how that works. And I tell you what, that really right there to me, in my opinion, and drivers out there, you tell me whether or not you think that's important or not. It's being able to get your truck and get it parked and being able to do what you think you need to do and not be able to be restricted on like, you know, can you leave? Can you go to Walmart? Can you go to the restaurant? You know, whatever. Right? Now, I know that a lot of people, especially in Dallas, we did that in Dallas too a lot. We get the truck, we get to the truck show, parking lot's free, park in the parking lot. We all want to hang out and everything like that. But again, the other problem was is that, you know, you want to get there, you want to be able to get a shower. Truck stops are on the south side of Dallas. The truck show is downtown Dallas. It's kind of a long drive, all that kind of stuff. Same way in Louisville, it's not really good access to those kind of deals where you can get a shower. So what we did was, is we all kind of chipped in or somebody said, you know, I'm getting a room. And then maybe the other drivers would slide a little cash to that other driver to say, can I use a shower? And you go in the hotel and he gives you the key, you go in the hotel, take a shower, you're done. You know, as Redneck and I, we did that. We had a hotel room there downtown to where, when we needed to get a shower because we were at the show and all that, you know, we all took turns, you know. And, of course, you got your own stuff. You bring your own stuff because, you know, you don't want to get the hotel mad at you and all that, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, take care of your own kind of thing. Plan on. That's great. You know, I think a lot of times that the great thing about the truck show is that you get a lot of people that just swing through for the day or swing through for the night or whatever. Come in, 2:00 in the afternoon, go to the truck show. You know, hang out, have a good time, maybe even break out the old hibachi and cook you a couple of burgers, steaks, whatever, chill out, whatever, get up next morning, and, you know, you get cleaned up and you go over to the show some more until about noon when you're ready to take off. You know, that's the way things go sometimes. You know, to me, I think that these shows, you know, they get so restrictive on, you know, this is what we're doing, and if you want to come to, you know, well, you're not going to get a lot of good traffic that way. Truck drivers kind of they kind of have to go with the flow of their freight. They don't go with the flow for the show. So you need to – I think that shows need to kind of go with the flow. And case in point, Walcott has a great show with the fireworks show on the – they And of course, they're advertising the show like, you know, from Thursday morning to Saturday evening, or no, Saturday afternoon. It's kind of like at 5 o'clock. Like it's over at 5 o'clock Saturday. There ain't nothing going on. The big time fireworks displays are going to be on Thursday and Friday. Thursday is the light show, where they turn off the lights on the parking lot, and the only lights that light up are the lights that are on the trucks. And it's really cool looking. And then they have the fireworks behind it. And that's where you get a lot of your good videos and stuff. So that'll be going on during that time. That's July 14th is when the Walcott show is. But that show is kind of like free-for-all, where the driver can come in, he can hang out. Of course, they've got the truck stop, so there's showers. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know what? I can hang out for a while. I might hang out a little longer than a while. I might hang out for the next day. I mean, you know, it's kind of like I got time on the freight. You know, it's kind of like you picked up a load, let's say, in Chicago on Wednesday evening, you know, and it's going to California. It ain't going to be able to unload until like maybe Monday night or Tuesday morning in California. The appointment got moved up because somebody screwed up or whatever. And you're like, what am I going to do all weekend? That's the guy that's going to go to the show. Like, had not planned on it at all. Boom. That driver is going to be at the truck show, because they're going to drive out. They're going to stop at Walcott, because that's what you do when you're on Interstate 80 in Iowa, right there around Davenport, Illinois, or is it Iowa? Yeah, that whatever that was it called? Des Plaines? Isn't it? I don't know. Can't remember. But when you're in that area on Interstate 80, whether you're going east or west, you know, you kind of make it a point to stop there, you know, especially if you need some chrome or you need, you know, stuff, because they got stuff, right? So everybody kind of makes it a point. Next time I'm through there, I'm going to look for this. Next time I'm through there, I'm going to look for that, you know, or whatever. And you always know you can find a parking spot. I've never not been able to find a parking spot at the Iowa 80, so it's a huge place. Those are the people, the ones that are passing through. And, you know, of course, what we know is that in Louisville and Dallas, now we see Houston with the Texas Trucking Show. You know, they're out of the mainstream. You know, unless you're paying attention, you're not going to know. You know, unless, you know, there's a lot of drivers that I'm friends with on Facebook. I share on there that there's a truck show, and they're like, oh, I didn't know they had a truck show. You know, I didn't know Houston had a truck show. And it's one of those things where, you know, unless you live in the area, or unless you are in the truck show, you know, hunting business, then you're not going to know. So yeah, I just think it's one of those things we need to investigate. The parking situation, in my opinion, parking needs to be kind of a free-for-all kind of thing. I know it sucks a lot of times, you know, where room gets taken up and you know, certain people want to do certain things, but, you know, it's more fun that way. You know, it's more fun that way. And always make it a point to tell drivers, listen, it's fun when you kind of, it's fun when it's a free-for-all, but everybody still kind of takes responsibility for their own little actions. They're like, I don't want to get in your way. You know, oh, no, I don't want to be in your way. Excuse me. Is this okay for you? Is this okay for me? What, you know, when you're going there and you're just a jerk about everything, like, this is my space, get the hell out of here. Nobody is allowed to come in here. I'm taking all this room. You know, that then people don't like you. Truck shows, I love them. I love them, especially when the drivers can get together and they can hang out and, you know, go to a restaurant, have dinner, go to a bar, you know, have a drink, and they can relax and not have to worry about, you know, for the next day or two. You know, you can be somewhere where you got like-minded people and you can just be away from the whole trucking thing. Because, I mean, come on. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, isn't that what they call them? You know, truck driving is got its own unique way of doing things. And you know, I like being by myself in the truck every now and then. But every now and then when I park the truck, I want to go inside and I like to, you know, I always liked the old truck stops where they had the restaurants. Of course, they don't have that anymore, where you can go in and you can order your meal and sit there in a restaurant, and then you can talk it up. And it's kind of like you're just sitting at a big table with a bunch of other drivers. And you're actually sitting at the bar, you know, with the waitress walking around inside the thing there. It's like a little horseshoe and everything. And it's a blast. you know, just talking about that the other day to people. It's like I don't like hanging out with too many people, but you know, at that time, that's dinner time, and you kind of just get be able to conversate, and it's a great thing. So yeah, truck shows, they're awesome. You should try it. The big ones are not fun anymore. Find you a little one. Find you a little truck show. That's why I'm going to the Texas Truck Show. It's supposedly pretty small. It's still got a kind of a big corporate vibe to it, the way the website is and the way the marketing is, but there's no concerts or anything. It's just 2 days, and it's Saturday morning, 10 a.m., closed at 5 p.m., and then Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that's it. So, you know, I don't know if they could have done it any more, if they could have had, but they're down there getting ready now. I mean, they're moving in and everything. I saw online, there's a lot of online people that have trucks and everything. They're down there, and they're getting ready. You know, and this is Thursday, so they'll be in there tomorrow, and they'll be all set tomorrow evening. And then Saturday morning, 10 a.m. sharp, get ready to go. So we'll see how that works out. I'm excited. So we'll get down there. I tried to get some stickers and some other stuff to where I could pass out when I'm walking around down there. I didn't get a lot of that done. I will have some pamphlets with the website logo on them and everything, so you guys can go check out the website. That way, if I see anybody down there that's interested, I can give them kind of a breakdown of what's going on with Redneck and Eyes and all that. But also, my good friend Gerald just gave me a good handful. On YouTube, you can see of the, there you go, Biker Lives Matter stickers. He gave me a good handful of them. So I'll be down there with those two. And, of course, I got my Biker Lives Matter ball cap and shirt. So I'll be down there doing that too. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ride my bike out there. So it's about a four-hour ride from Corpus to Houston. And that'll be fun. Looking forward to doing that. So have a lot of fun doing that. Riding is awesome. And I'm going to put some things on the website here later on. It's kind of a thing I kind of started is as truck drivers, you know, you see a lot of truck drivers that also ride. So I kind of thought, you know what, you know, that's kind of one of the camaraderie things that we have going on here with truckers that love to ride. So it's kind of like we drive to live and we live to ride. So, you know, driving makes a living, and then, riding makes it worth it, you know, going out riding. So yeah, it's one of those things. I got addicted to it, and it's pretty awesome. But anyway, check things out. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com is our website. Didn't want to do that. Hold on. There you go. My technical difficulties. And back it up here. There you go. Nice and quiet. So yeah. Like I said, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. They're a great little outfit. Well, not little, but they're a pretty good size outfit. Everybody over there says they're drop-dead busy, and they got plenty of stuff going on. So give them a call, 720-277-0030, and they're out of Denver, Colorado. Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. And give them a holler over there. Check things out. So we appreciate all their support. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com. You can call in 515-602-9731. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. So check it out. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
It's a big old land with countless dreams. And happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagle fly. There's a lady that stands in a harbor for what we believe. And there's a bell that still echoes the price that it costs to be free. I pledge allegiance to this flag.
And if that bothers you, well, that's too bad.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. You call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're here live every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in, like I said, 515-602-9731. Go check out more information. Give us a holler. There's redneckandeyes.com. That's our website. And before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a holler at 800-634-3010. We appreciate all their support. And that's DPF Regeneration. Most of the time, if you're fans of the show, you know, that's they've been with us a while. So we appreciate all their support and everything they do for us. And that's DPF Regeneration. Trying to figure out why my deal's all messing up here. Let's see. There it is. It's better now. Cool. But, oh, man, as I'm getting my stuff here, there we go. So, yeah, I was paying attention to the news, just looking up trucking news, and this morning, I don't see it on here anymore, but it's like the used truck market just took a dump. You know, there for a while there, drivers were actually making money. Like even companies, like big companies like Werner and Swift and all them, they were selling their trucks at like more than what they paid for. You know, and now, and then they even when they kind of sloped off there a little bit, you know, you had an old truck that used to go for $10,000 or $20,000, it was going for $50,000, $60,000. So now, since the trucking industry is kind of like slowed down because the fuel prices are high or the, you know, the market's just kind of slow because the economy is just kind of dragging along. It's not booming, you know, like we expected it to or like it was. So they said the used truck market just took a dump. Like, you know, there's too many trucks out there now for sale. Of course, that doesn't mean they're not getting used. We know here our good friend Jeff here, he's driving his truck right now. You know, he's out running around making money, but he's got it listed for sale. And it's a newer truck. It's like a 2019, 2020. So what do you call, just because it's listed for sale doesn't mean that it's sitting there idle, not doing anything. And just always remember that. So it's not too bad. But according to the articles and the news and all that, the way they see it, you know, they do reports and all that, and they say, there's a lot of trucks for sale. Well, yeah, there's a lot of trucks listed for sale, because if you had a truck that was decent and you're out there making money and you're like, well, hell, man, people are paying $100,000 for these trucks. Why wouldn't I put mine up for sale? That's just crazy, right? And that's pretty much what they did. So the one thing I did notice, CDLLife.com had an article, and this was published yesterday, and it says nearly 1,300 trucks were taken off the road during a 24-hour surprise brake blitz commercial, the CVSA has released the results of an unannounced brake safety enforcement effort that took place in April. Unannounced. That's the big thing. You know, they kept saying that they were announcing all this stuff. And this is on April 27th that this took place. It says, during the single-day effort, a total of 9,132 inspections were conducted. It says, a total of 1,290 of the 9,100 inspections resulted in out-of-service orders due to critical brake-related safety, and that this is a 14% out-of-service rate for brake-related violations. And let's see. They've got a little graph here, and it says number of participating jurisdictions. It's like 6 Canada, 40 in Texas. I'm thinking that that was like the states, 40 states, and then you had 6 of the territories, which I think that's all there is in Canada. It says number of inspections, and the 6 in Canada did 382. The 40 in the U.S. did 8,750. And then number of brake-related out-of-service, 62 in Canada, 1,228 in U.S. That resulted in 16.2% in Canada and 14% in the U.S. So Canada is actually worse. So, which I always wonder, you know, we always think these inspections are weird, but, I mean, do you think it's weird sometimes you think about it? Is one doing a better job than the other? You know, I mean, could there have been more? Or were they really, really stringent and this was like way, way, way more than what was needed? Like they probably could have let half of these guys go. You know, it's like, you know, because it's kind of like you got a human being looking at this stuff, doing these inspections. You know, did they catch more than they needed to catch because they were overzealous? Or did they actually miss a bunch? Way more than they probably would normally do or whatever. You know what I mean? You never know. That's why I don't, you know, unless you've got some kind of, you know, the stats are the stats. And when it's better when you can actually see it for yourself, it's kind of like, you know, in sports, you know, there's no questioning a home run. Guy hits a home run. He hits it over the fence. It's a home run. Okay. You know, touchdown. There's no questioning a touchdown. There's no questioning how many yards because it's there. It's all marked. When you do inspections, it's like I did 100 inspections and 10 of them were out of service. He goes, well, yeah, but I mean, did you really do 100 or did you kind of pencil whip a bunch of them? Did you really put 10 of them out of service or were there, did you kind of pull more aside than you normally would have? Or did you miss a bunch? You know, I mean, did you kind of let a lot of them go? You know, So it's kind of hard because, I mean, I've been out there. I've seen it. I've seen all the kinds. I mean, drivers out there, you tell me where you haven't seen it. I've seen it where the guy is doing an inspection and he's kind of like, yeah, you're okay. Go ahead. You know, everything's fine. You know, whatever. You know, hey, you got your permit book with you? Yeah, it's right here. You got your log book? Yeah, it's right here on the dash. Okay, you're good. I mean, that's, you know. And sometimes it's like, I'm going to do an inspection for you. And they pull out a paperwork and they fill it all out and they go, here you go. They didn't inspect nothing. They just want to do the paperwork and they want you to sign it and they get credit for it, right? Or come in here, give me your paperwork. And they go over all the paperwork. They go over all your, I mean, not only do they go over your logbook, but they don't even trust your math. They do everything on their self. Like they'll go in there and they'll add up all of your driving time. And you mark down it at your total 9.5. They go in there, they add it up and make sure it makes 9.5, you know, and they do that for 7 days. They do their own calculations. And it's like, come on, man, that's just crazy. You know, I mean, if the graph, why would I make the graph different than the number? If the number says 9, why would the graph not say 9? I don't understand why, what kind of idiot you take me for, right? Then I've been on the other end of the spectrum, which I think is totally hilarious, that I pulled into the truck show, the weigh scale, and I just crossed the state line, and I kind of just, I don't know what I did. I actually made a mistake. I knew that I made a mistake. As soon as I opened up the permit book, when he – when I'm driving down the road, and of course I've been driving a few hours, whatever it is, I was about out of time, and I knew it. I was calculating that I was about out of time, and I had actually made an error where I started driving an hour before, I started driving like an hour before I put down there. So like I put down 2, but I actually started at 1. And I messed up. I put the line all the way to 2. But I was at 1. Or no, it was the other way around or something. But anyway, the funny thing was that I got pulled into the scale. It was in New Mexico. He looks at my logbook and he says, "Oh, you're about out of time." I said, "Well, yeah, I plan on stopping at the next town there and everything." That's about right. Yeah, I'd have been okay as far as time goes. You know, of course, back then there was no 14-hour clock. So it's like, yeah, I mean, you know, I got another 30, 40 miles to go. Got another drive. So yeah, no problem. He's like, okay. And then after I sat down and looked at it, if he actually would have been, the only reason why he didn't catch it was because he was in mountain time. And I was technically logging a different time zone, but according to his time, I was good. But in my time, I wasn't. so when he's like, yeah, I got you. Yeah, I understand. No, he don't. He don't know what he's looking at. If he would have sat there and did exactly, you know, and that, I guess that's what it is. Is like if he would have done those other guys done, where he actually pulled out the calculator himself and did everything himself, he would have caught me. But, he kind of just looked at it. And he really didn't know what he was looking at. And he goes, yeah, you're good. You know, we've seen that all the time too. The guys check the permits and he's like, well, you don't have the hazmat permit. I said, yeah, dude, it's right here. Oh yeah. Okay. He goes, well, you don't have the permit for this state. Yeah, I do. It's right here. You know, they don't even know. So yeah, I mean, the way these inspections go, ain't no telling. But I do like it that it's a surprise. They need that, you know, that's what it needs to be. Of course, they need to be every day. You know, me and Greg here, Greg's been on the show before. You heard him talk about it. It needs to be every day. Every single day is the way it needs to be. And let's do it this way. Copy link. And we'll post it on the comments. This is the article here. Post it in the comments. But it needs to be every day. They need to be out there inspecting. I mean, 1,300. In one day, that's a lot, you know? So just imagine if they didn't, would they have seen that many more in the same day or in the second day, you know? But if you're out there checking, then there's not going to be that much out there because they're going to know. They're going to say, you know what? I'm going to take care of my stuff because they're checking. You know, there's a lot of drivers out there. They don't do nothing. They don't care. You know, you're not checking. So why should they care? That's their whole philosophy of it. And I see it all the time. Lights, shoot, man. Drivers, fix your lights, you know. Of course, I wish that the law enforcement would crack down on headlights. You know, when they're pointing in all directions, blinding people, you know, you need a ticket. That's just crazy. You know, they do it all the time. What are you going to do? But other than that, like I said, it wasn't too much going on in the news. A lot of national news taking place where the Supreme Court's now letting loose on a lot of their stuff. So I'm going to dig in more into that. I might talk about more of that tomorrow. There's an article in CNBC. This is always good when mainstream news covers the trucking industry and it says world's largest truck maker says it's facing. Get out of here. There it is. I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. So it says world's largest truck maker says it's facing enormous supply chain pressures, and it's Daimler. The Daimler came in, and they were talking about it, and they actually put it in a video here. Loading an ad, but we'll nude it. And let him go through the ad here, another 20 seconds. But yeah, this says the CEO is talking about supply chain squeezes, and it's worst it's seen in 25 years, or his 25-year career, major bottlenecks. So we'll see what he has to say here real quick. Let's get it going. Here we go. Whoops.
There was much more trucks than we can at the moment, because on the other side, we could produce much more trucks than we can at the moment, because on the other side, we are facing enormous pressure on the supply chain. I would say it's one of the worst years ever in my long career in trucking, where we have sometimes have to touch a truck 3-4 times to add the missing parts. We have in a couple of factories more than 10,000 trucks where one or two parts are missing, and we desperately search the world for those parts. Now you talk about the inflationary pressure. Yes, energy, very important in the building of our trucks, much more expensive. Raw material, much more expensive. And we are at the moment pushing those price increases on the raw material side through, so we can at least hold our margins in that business. Very challenging year, but we are pretty confident for 2022.
Martin, great answer. Look, let me ask you about your workforce, your excellent workforce as well. We know that IG Metall is looking for 8% up roughly for its associates in the current pay round going on. What about your workers? Are they on the whole getting more than 8% or less than 8% in terms of pay rounds?
I mean, first of all, that is the negotiations. IG Metall in Germany made their first, let's say, ask. The end result is always the result after a long negotiation with a lot of parameters in it. How long will that contract run? How much will be a one-time payment? There are many multiple elements, which I, at the moment, it would be just speculation. One thing is clear, the salaries and wages around the globe are on the rise, which is part of the inflationary pressure we see all over the industry.
Yeah, Martin, just to talk about that inflationary pressure, are you seeing any evidence
you gotta
right
pay your
now
people more. If you got good people, you got to pay them more.
America or Europe or other parts of the world are starting to become reluctant to pay the higher prices for your vehicles? We're looking at other economic indicators at the moment, and clearly there is some response here to the Fed and other central banks tightening the cost of money. Is that beginning at all to affect demand?
I don't see that at the moment. Look, we could,
no,
especially
we need
North
trucks.
America, where we have the highest
drivers tear up trucks.
On the interest rate side, we have a pent-up demand because we couldn't supply already last year the demand for our vehicles, the same this year. So I would say in the total market of North America, roughly about 200,000 trucks, what I call pent-up demand. That means trucks that are older, that need to be replaced. And that, in my opinion, makes me optimistic that we'll see a not too bad 2023. And not too bad is a German expression for it could be a good 2023.
Martin, we must ask you about the situation with regard to Russia-Ukraine. Obviously, you're going to take some impact to earnings as they get reported. But can you tell us a little bit more about what the tail on this business issue may look like going forward? Is it more than a one-year event? Do you think ultimately if the conflict continues, that we will see further business impact?
We had a pretty strong business in Russia. We were working very closely together with the leading Russian truck manufacturer, Kamaz, and we seized and stopped our business immediately 4 days after the invasion into Ukraine. That gave us a significant, close to 200 million hit in our first quarter, which we reported, and for us, it's done. We have no business with Russia at all. What the future would look like, I think there are more experts around, better experts than me around.
They're showing
tell
video
me how
of like a Mercedes.
That really, absolutely
in Europe.
Horrible war is going to end.
Of course, it's
and
a dynamic.
What at the end of the day will be the relationship
and
between
in my
the Western
opinion,
world or Russia. I have
aren't
no
they
clue,
the same ones that make
but we will follow definitely the guidance our politicians are giving.
So, yeah, there you go. And up next, company said, let's go. There we go. So, yeah. What I think is that it's the whole, you know, it's a global thing, but also I think it's policies. I think that the whole thing about, well, first off, let's just say this, the pandemic really killed the money. money is not worth as what it used to be, because what happened was is that when everything got shut down, the government's like, well, we need these people. These people aren't working, so we need them to be able to buy groceries. So let's just send them money. Well, when you send money, what money are you sending? You're sending money that you just printed. You just made it up. So when you make up money, it all of a sudden the money that's already out there doesn't have the same value. Everything loses value. So when you send people money, and you know, I was watching a show, a political show, and of course the guy on the right's like, you know, well, we gave all this money out. And then the woman comes back, she's the liberal side. She's like, well, not only that, they gave Wall Street money too. So we need to help the families. We need to help the people. We don't need to help Wall Street. And I said, you know what? We don't need to help either. We shouldn't have done anything like that. Okay. I mean, you could have said the food places, you need to, really quick, you need to change things over where you're protecting people. You know, maybe do the dine out, do the carry out stuff only. Don't close dining rooms. That's fine. But they closed it down. Like, they closed everything down. You couldn't even go through the drive-thru. And that's what killed people. You know, they said the grocery stores could stay open. The grocery stores were open. And they were like, you know, and this was before the mask mandate came out. I remember I went to the store and I'm like, I'm going to watch myself. I'm not going to touch anything that I don't necessarily need to touch. I have the little, you know, they have the wet wipes and everything down. So I did that with the cart and all that. And of course, we didn't know everything about it. We were just kind of, what's going on? Don't go coughing in front of people, you know, cover your mouth, stuff like that. People weren't doing that. They didn't care. You know, I'm in one aisle. I think we're looking at trash bags or those, you know, we're in that aisle that has all the disposable trash bags or sandwich bags and storage and all that. And I'm looking for my particular one I'm looking for. And I'm like, looking, I'm not touching anything. I don't want to touch nothing. They say don't touch nothing. So I didn't want to touch nothing. One of the boxes was turned where I couldn't see the front of it to see what it was. So I kicked it with my toe, you know, with the shoe. I just moved it so I could see the deal. Other people over there, I mean, there was this one woman, and I mean, she was elderly. She was, I mean, you could tell, you know, that she, and of course, she's more vulnerable, we learned later, right? She's touching every box, picking it up, you know, and everything like that. And then she's like, oh, I don't know. And she puts her finger, hand up to her mouth, goes, I don't know what we're doing. And then goes, touches another box. And, oh, I don't know what, you know. I was like, lady, quit touching everything. I was like, they're telling us not to touch stuff. And she's like, well, how am I supposed to know? I said, well, you need to look. Don't touch. It's like, you know, you don't need to be touching, you know. And of course, everybody's, you know, I'm trying, and what I do too is in your, you got the cart full of food, and you're trying not to go down an aisle that's full of people, because you're like, okay, steer clear of people. Don't get too close. People are bumping into each other, going around, sitting around. Some people are blocking the aisle, you know, it's like, man, come on, people, you know? And that's, but again, you know, they got money sent to them, so they went out there shopping and spent money, and now money's dead, and that's what the bottom is, you know, it's like you're not going to prevent nothing. That's the whole point of the whole thing is you're not going to prevent anything. People are going to do what they're going to do. Okay. That's just bottom line. You're not going to stop, you know? So, you know, Biden said the other day, we need more government spending for the next pandemic. I said, well, you know, guess what? There ain't going to be another pandemic. Okay. Cause, we ain't no way in hell we're going to shut down again like that. Ain't no way in hell ever going to do that again. So yeah. Mm-mm. Not me. I got the night shift blues still. Remember back in the day when you worked night shift and it wasn't that big of a deal because you could still go to Walmart? Walmart was open 24/7. Even as a truck driver over the road, remember when you had a late night trying to pick up or drop off something and you got turned around, so you had to drive a long way before you could find a parking spot, and you finally got out of town into this one of these small little country towns that had a big Walmart, and all kinds of trucks were allowed to park there. They didn't care. They loved trucks, and the whole neighborhood loved trucks. And you parked in that parking lot, and you were able to park in the Walmart parking lot. And if you wanted to go shopping right then and there, you could. And it was 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody cared. People are in there stocking shelves, and you're there saying, you know, hey, I'm a truck driver. They're like, hey, well, you know, get your stuff, get what you need, though, no problem at all. Well, now Walmarts are closed. They close down at 10, 11 o'clock at night every night. They don't open back up until 6 or 7. It's just crazy. Come on, man. Get back to it. Let's go. You know? I mean, maybe, you know, I can't stand it. I can't stand having to adjust my schedule so I can go to the grocery store. You know, I don't like going to the grocery store when I just got off work and I'm all tired. am I a spoiled brat or what? Yeah, it's crazy. Well, yeah, that's the way it goes. Man, I tell you what, we're getting screwed left and right. But we're trying to stop that. Redneck and I is trying to get out there and do what we can to get out there with the drivers and hang up. So there's a truck show coming up there in Pennsylvania around September 23rd. It's the Truckers for Hope. You can check them out at truckersforhope.com. That's September 23rd through the 25th at the Clinton County Fairgrounds in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. And that's one of those small town truck shows. It's got all the stuff about, you know, they got concerts. Little Texas is going to be performing. They got the tractor pulls. They got all kinds of stuff going on. And it's just, you know, monster truck rides, semi-truck light show, tractor truck pulls, the, you know, semi-pulls. What do you call kids fun, all kinds of stuff. And it's out there in the fairgrounds where you can go camping or you can bring the truck or you can just drive up. Tony Justice and Long Haul Paul is going to be there too. I mean, this is a truck show right here. This is about the people. This is what this is about. This ain't about corporate, you know, this ain't about like, you know, the next big technology. This is to celebrate the American trucker. That's what this is. They're not trying to celebrate the industry and all of its regulations and all of its new technology and autonomous and fuel efficiency. We don't care about none of that crap when you come to these places. It's a tractor pull, okay? We're burning diesel here. Black smoke don't mean it's broke. This is what it's about, Truckers for Hope. Truckersforhope.com, September 23rd to the 25th, Clinton County Fairgrounds, Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. Redneck and I is going to be there. I don't know if I'll be there, but Redneck and I will be there. This weekend, I'll be in Houston, Texas, at the Texas Trucking Show. That's at the NRG Center. That's on June 25th and 26th. And I'm excited because I've never been, and I'm going to check things out and see how that goes. So there's more shows coming up. Somebody from Redneck and I probably will be at the Walcott, the Truckers Jamboree in Iowa 80. I looked at trying to go, but doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it because I got a lot of stuff going on myself. So it's during the week. It's Thursday the 14th, Friday the 15th, and Saturday the 16th. I got those dates right, didn't I? I cannot remember. Yep, that's it. So, and that's what it is. And that's going to be here in July. July 14th, the Walcott, Iowa 80 Trucker Jamboree. And that's a lot of fun. I've been to that before, back when I was driving over the road. And that's a lot of fun. Like I say, you go check that, just Iowa 80, go check it out. They got all the details on that stuff. But, yeah, just check us out here. Keep posted. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time for an hour. We're going to be here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And go check it out. For more information, go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. I'd like to thank all of our great sponsors. That's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. DPF Regeneration at dpfregeneration.com or 800-634-3010. And certainly not least, the load-to-ride transportation. Load-to-ride transportation at a Denver, Colorado, ltrtransportation.com. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And they're all a great bunch of folks there. Let me get some fired up here. What do we got? There we go. I love this song.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, you good right
now. I'm telling you. All right, so you can't go wrong with that. Like I said, keep on trucking out there. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We're going to keep on trucking, man. Make it happen, you know. So until next time, y'all stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
From a guitar case. kind of just hang around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car. Now I'm smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rocking little combo from the guitar down.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you've got a Redneck and Eyes.